Bro Concho with Anna DeBlantis is right here on 720 WGN. Look who's here. Congressman
Goose.
Adam Kinzinger.
Goose.
That's right.
Come on, Goose.
Actually, the congressman,
I've
been watching television. He's been all over television today. Mm-hmm. They always ask him. They have him on to talk about all these things on CNN and ABC and all the rest of them. And he's always talking about this Trump guy. And then I turned on my TV and they did a weather hit from the North Avenue Beach, and he was playing shirtless volleyball.
See, there you go. Covering all the bases, sure he gets noticed today.
Yeah, exactly.
It's better than in the men's room when your whitey tidy's bent over in mourning.
Yeah, or walking around. Those scenes from Top Gun, as an Air Force pilot, did you ever walk around the locker room of
an
airbase?
No, I can't say we did. But seeing Top Gun, every time they were in the locker room, they were always mourning something or like very dramatic.
But
the Iceman.
Biting at him.
Yeah. I don't know if that came through. I was biting.
Yes. Right. Wearing towels and this, sort of. Yeah. What are you gonna? Because these guys don't shower together. They go back to their, wherever
they're staying. Home.
Yeah. Their house, their barracks, whatever they are.
But tell me, they do play those volleyball games, though.
I'm sure. Yeah.
In the Navy, right?
Yeah.
In the Navy, probably.
Air Force.
Preserve that image.
Shoot at each other and things.
The Air Force.
Man stuff.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
So. Exactly. Talk about guys who didn't come. You remember the one guy.
Race German Shepherds, whatever. Yeah. Get some muscle milk.
That's right.
All right. These two should be together, actually. Kevin and the two kids here. The Kevin and the congressman. All right. Let me. Okay. So Donald Trump, I know that you have been the loyal opposition thus far to him.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because just now CNN is reporting. I mean, within the last hour, they have gotten, Gloria Borger has gotten information from sources inside the Trump campaign that says that they're going to change his position on the Muslim ban. It is now going to be re-articulated as a ban on immigration from nations that train or fund terrorists.
Yeah, well, okay, let me just say, I've always said I'm not a never Trump guy. I want Trump to sound like a Republican and all that, but so I have to encourage this move, but it's still kind of shocking. I mean, it's, he's doubled down multiple times on banning all Muslims. But I think what he's seen, and I mean, to his credit or to the campaign's credit, both, calling the judge a Mexican and then in the Muslim ban, he's seen that that has not worked for him in the polls. I mean, people, to an extent, being outlandish worked in a primary because you were differentiating yourself among 17 people, and you were just one.
In a closed universe. Now an open universe.
That's right. And now it's a general election where people are calling you out. You're not just getting an hour of rallies covered on TV. It is, you're being called out for it. And I think he's probably making a shift. If he'd have said this right away, I wouldn't have necessarily disagreed. I mean, war-torn areas where you can't track, where there is terrorism, where you can't track people's background, I absolutely think there should be suspension, but that's not what he said initially.
No, it's not what he said. He actually even talked about deportations at one point.
Right.
I mean, he was pretty strong about it, but now shifting it substantially. You were talking about the polls. Some say now the 12-point differential between Trump and Hillary Clinton. I guess that's not when you factor in the independents, when he gets slightly closer, but still it doesn't seem he's trending in the right direction, and maybe this new messaging will help.
Yeah, I mean, as a Republican, I would say I hope so. He's definitely going to have to do that. Now, people will talk about that he's more competitive in the swing states, and there's some evidence of that. He's tied maybe in Pennsylvania, which is a big deal, but
he's
10 points down in Florida, and to make up for Florida, you have to win Ohio, which you have to win anyway, and then you have to win Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and those are each heavy lifts to make up for Florida.
North Carolina, Virginia, New Mexico.
Yeah, right? That's right. And so the key here is, okay, in this kind of new Trumpism, Trump 2.0, if that's in fact what's going to happen, is you have to reach out to Hispanics. I mean, you have to reach out and say there's 800,000 more of them registered to vote than in 2012, and his numbers are worse than they were with Mitt Romney at the end. So it's just a scientific fact. If you want to reach 50.1%, you're going to have to reach into Hispanic populations, minority populations, and articulate a message that's attractive.
Right, and 50.1% doesn't win you anyway.
Right.
You have to win it in the states. I mean, it's electrical. Electrical.
Well, it is electrical.
I have an electrical problem at home. That's why I said it's an electrical.
You need a soldering iron.
Yes, I do. If anybody has a soldering iron, I could borrow it. I would.
It's better than an electoral problem.
It is an electoral problem. It's actually what it is. But, what's interesting here, though, is now who are we talking about? What nations is he has to define the nations now by saying that? Here's the problem that his own campaign by being a bunch of people first time out in doing this are making mistakes. They don't get what they don't know. So as soon as he says this, as soon as they say this, then they're going to go, okay, well, which nations are those?
Right.
Now, okay, we agree, Syria. Yes. People traveling on a Syrian passport, there's probably going to be some question about it. Iraqi passport, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending, but that's technically an ally of ours, right? We're fighting on the same side as they. But is it, is it Turkey? Is it Iran? Makes sense. Saudi Arabia?
Right.
Are you going to start banning the princes from, you know, staying at the Four Seasons in New York? I don't think so.
Well, and then you have exceptions. For instance, you know, I've been working very hard on getting Iraq and Afghan translators that worked with American forces that were promised visas and green cards into the United States for their work, in many cases putting their lives on the line.
Right.
And it's been slowed up by the State Department. But my thing is, look, not only is it right to do, when we go into the next war, people that we're going to need as translators are going to say, well, let me think, did you keep your promise to those in Iraq and Afghanistan? Mm-hmm. And so now if you say, well, we're going to ban immigration from Iraq or Afghanistan, does that include the translators that did this? So, I mean, I think he has the potential here to articulate a policy of, you know, basically, look, the FBI has said that we can't vet these folks. If it's somebody we can't vet, then we can't allow them in right now. I actually have said that before, and I agree with that. But if you're just going to start saying all Muslims from any country that, you know, whatever the threshold you put in, you still run into a bit of a problem.
France, Belgium, I mean, these are places where Muslim terrorists, Islamo fascist terrorists, have been trained and funded.
Right.
But does that mean that the average guy from, you know, and you know, there's over a billion Muslims in the world, right?
Right.
And if we stop and we think about people who are actually involved in terrorist activity, it's a very, 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 very small number of that. How do you say for the hundreds of people who would be doing the right thing, flying on a plane to come to the United States to do the right thing and leave, right? I mean, they're coming in as tourists, or they're coming in on a, you know, a work visa or whatever it is. How do you do that?
Well, and the key is, I think this too, you know, to win this war, I've talked about there's a short-term goal, which is, you know, destroy ISIS, destroy terrorists physically. And then there's a long-term goal. The thing we have to realize is what is actually occurring is a civil war right now within Islam. And it's similar to what happened in Christianity in the 17th century, the idea of a separation of church and state. And that's the fight that's going on in Islam. And to some extent, the West is a casualty of that. And so when you make blanket statements, you're feeding into the side that we don't want to win this civil war of saying that this is East against the West. It is not East against the West. We have to protect ourselves. But this is a fight within Islam to define itself. Mm-hmm. And this is one that we have to win. And you can't feed into recruiting the other side. So, and this just goes to the other problem, is you need a candidate. And hopefully, again, Donald Trump has turned the page here, that is interested in policy. Policy really does matter.
He's interested in his golf courses, right. Congressman.
He said after Brexit, yeah.
Let's talk about Brexit. Can you hold on 1 second? Let's come right back and we'll talk to the congressman about that. Because what does that mean? I mean, here's a guy literally standing there in Scotland opining about his drainage system on his golf course while Europe is burning. I mean, that didn't seem right to me.
Or how good the falling of the British pound is for his golf course.
For his right. I mean, that's not good. Is it good for the dollar? Is it good for American tourism? Is it good for the global economy? I mean, that's... The guy just doesn't think. He just says whatever he feels, which I've been accused of. My God, it's just like me. You don't want me to be president. Yeah, that would not be good. Hey, all right, we'll come right back. But first, Violetta's got the WGN Turf Trouble Spots. Adam Kinzinger is here. He's the congressman from the 16th Congressional District here in the state of Illinois and a gigantic media star. All right, now, we were talking about Brexit, and we were talking about the Trump reaction to it, not so good, but the world's reaction to it, not so good. How do you think it's going to affect American relations with the British Empire?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to affect our relationship. I mean, we may have to renegotiate various aspects of trade with them, which we'll be able to do. I mean, obviously, we have a great relationship with the UK. I think it will affect them with Europe to an extent. And I think the bigger lesson in this is, you know, frankly, something like inaction in Syria, I actually believe is part of the reason Brexit happened. And to explain that, it's because you have this mass migration right now into Europe. And not immigration, this is mass migration. And you have this massive kind of culture shock that's occurring in Europe, and to include Great Britain. And I think, not the definitive reason, but enough percent was given to the people that say, we want to leave so that we can control our borders and control this migration, that you can see how something like inaction in Syria and that problem, and that's, by the way, going to continue to spread if Assad stays in power, can lead to problems all around the globe. I think the two are not unrelated.
You are 100% right. Are you worried about the economic impact here in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think there'll be some. I think there'll be some impact in terms of just uncertainty. But I'll also tell you, it's a good time to buy British stocks. I mean, British bank stocks are down 40% right now, and this isn't 2008. They're going to recover. So it also could be a buying opportunity for people. But
oh, look at you!
Uncertainty is not good.
If this presidential run doesn't work out for you, I think that maybe
well, as long as British bank stocks are down, I've got a good recommendation. Until they go up, I'm a one trick pony.
Maybe get a Charles Schwab account.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that we wanted to ask you, last week we had Peter Roskam on, one of your colleagues here from the Illinois delegation in Congress, talking about this Boeing deal with Iran, and he was all upset that Iran was going to be sold Boeing commercial aircraft. Do you think that's a big deal?
Well, you know, look, he's got his concerns, and he's exploring them, and definitely open to what his concerns are. I think the problem is frankly, if Boeing doesn't sell these airlines, Airbus will, and it comes down to, look, I don't agree with the Iran deal. I wouldn't have signed it. I think it's bad. But it is what it is, and now that you have economic viability, now you have economic, I guess, ability to sell stuff, it being $25 billion of Boeing may be better than $25 billion of Airbus.
It certainly helps us locally, you would think. But
that's right.
You also want to ask you, we were talking before about Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren making their campaign trail debut together. They certainly looked comfortable together. A lot of people saying she may be a VP. Is she a good VP for Hillary? Would you see that happening?
I think it would be a terrible pick for Hillary. I think Hillary can unite the Democratic Party regardless right now, because I think, you know, Bernie's folks will mostly go to her. That pick for her will unite the Republican Party. I think if you see Elizabeth Warren on the ticket, you will see Republicans unite. If she puts somebody like a Tim Kaine or kind of a more vanilla pick that could be somewhat attractive to moderate Republicans, I think you'll continue to see some of the consternation in the Republicans. And every Republican she wins is a two-vote switch.
I understand she's going to pick Paul Ryan. And
just to mess everything up.
Right. That's right.
You can't understand anything.
This time, Paul, you're going to win the vice presidency. Something like that. All right, Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
Anytime, guys.
Appreciate
it.
There he goes, Adam Kinzinger, Maverick, as we like to call him around here. Well, he doesn't like it, though.